I tried a few doors, but they were locked. Then I made the mistake of doing so in view of an armed guard who was standing in front of a money-changing house a few doors up. He unslung a weapon and muttered something into his collar. I backtracked, took the next side alley that I could find, and ran down it for 100 yards to a place where it bridged a narrow canal. A couple of scooter boys pulled up to block the bridge just as I reached it. Glancing down, I saw some mucky canal bottom exposed. The tide must be out. I jumped down without thinking, landed and rolled in the soft mud, felt pain but didn't break anything as far as I could tell. To one direction, the canal curved back toward the town square. The other direction led to open sky, the waterfront. I began running that way, thinking that if I could get to the beach, I might steal or beg a ride on a small boat. Even swimming would be safer than being in the middle of that crowd. But I couldn't run very fast in the muck, and I was exhausted anyway. I'd forgotten to breathe. Bridges spanned the canal every couple of 100 feet, and I began to see people gathering on the bridges ahead of me, pointing at me excitedly. I turned around to see a bigger crowd on the bridge behind. They had bottles and stones ready. Trying to run under those bridges would be suicide. The canal wall was vertical, but the stonework was ancient and rough cut. I tried to scale it. Scooter noise zeroed in on me, and something hit me on the top of the head. I woke up some time after landing in knee-deep water in the middle of the canal and came up howling for air, only to get hit by a dozen stones and bottles in as many seconds.
"Stop! Stop! The vault isn't going anywhere! Keep him penned in!"
said some kind of self-appointed leader, a stout geith with shaggy hair.
"Our witness is almost here," he proclaimed.
So we all waited for the witness. The crowd sorted itself. Most of them had been random people who had been drawn to the bridges or the canal brink by simple curiosity, or out of the belief that they were helping to collar a purse snatcher. But those sorts drifted away, or were pushed aside by new arrivals, geiths with gee-jaws. So by the time that the witness arrived on the back of a pedal-powered cab a minute or so later, 100% of those staring down at me were geiths, and none of them believed that I was a purse snatcher. What did they believe? I doubted most of them even cared. The witness was Laro. His leg was in a military-issue cast.
"That is him! I'll never forget his face! He used vowed sorcery to save himself, but left our kinsman Dag for dead!"
I looked at him like, "You have got to be kidding." But the look on his face was so sincere it made me doubt my own version of the story.
"The cops are coming,"
someone warned. Actually, we'd been hearing such warnings the whole time I'd been at bay here. I wished those cops would hurry, but I wasn't sure they'd treat me any better.
"Let's get this done,"
someone shouted, and looked to the leader, who stepped to the brink. Sidling along next to him was a big guy holding a huge chunk of pavement above his head in both hands and staring at me intently. The leader pointed down at me.
"He's a vout. Laro testifies to it. These two found the evidence hidden under his clothes."
Two young geiths, the pair who had mugged me, were pushed to the front of the crowd so vigorously they almost fell in. They had my bolt, cord, and sphere. At the leader's prompting, they raised these up for all to see. The crowd oohed and aahed at the exhibits, as if they were nuclear bomb cores.
"The vout has broken the ancient law that keeps his kind apart. He has come among us as a spy. We all know what he did to poor Dag. We can only imagine what fate he had in store for Laro, had Laro not bravely fought his way free of the vout's snare. Are we going to stand for it?"
"No,"
the crowd shouted.
"Are we going to get any justice from the cops?"
"No."
"But are we going to see justice done?"
"Yes."
The leader nodded at the big guy with the rock. He flung it down at me so ponderously that I was able to step out of its path with ease. But a score of smaller, faster projectiles came in its wake. Running back and forth just to make myself a moving target, I caught sight of a stone stairway in the canal about 100 feet distant. If I could get to its top, I'd at least be at street level again. Not in this hopeless situation, down below the mob. I ran for it and took several more bottles and rocks in my back, but I had my arms folded behind my head to shield it. I got to the top of those stairs all right, but they were waiting for me there. I had scarcely ascended to street level before they had tripped and shoved me down onto the street. One of them fell on me, or maybe it was a clumsy attempt to tackle me. I grabbed the lapel of his jacket and held him there, keeping him on top of me as a shield. People elbowed each other aside to get in and aim kicks at me, but most of them drew up short when they saw one of their own people in the way. Hands reached in to grab him and haul him to his feet. I ended up with his empty jacket clutched in my hand. I tried to get up, but was pushed down. I went to a fetal position and clamped my arms over my head. It was a few seconds later that I heard the scream.